you got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
And good afternoon, and welcome to the Community Living Show here on the NZRA Networks and our half-hour flagship station, CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's Co-op Radio. So, you're hearing me first because Kelly is still in Cambodia. I did get a Skype message from him. Everything's going well there. When he actually sent me that message, it was like 4:30 a.m. there in Cambodia. So I told him, go to bed. There's no need for him to be up so late just to say hi and check in to make sure everything's going well with us over here back in Vancouver. So, but then again, that's just how Kelly is. So today, it's kind of continuation. If you were listening yesterday on our one-hour show, I played some clips about EDS or Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and or nicknamed hypermobility, and where your joints and connective tissue just doesn't quite want to do what it's supposed to do. And I tried to play some of the stories it told, maybe about some of the pain and everything that the people go through with this. So I just want everybody to picture this, because after I did the show, I was actually doing a movie shoot with Cheryl Young and about the Just One More Step walk to Banff. It's all going to become part of the documentary, and we were kind of mocking up a interview, and she brought up some good points about pain and people not really realizing what it is, because you look well, they think nothing can be wrong. So so a lot of these people, if you actually go on YouTube and you search for EDS or Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, you'll see most of these people is like, they don't look, shall we say, quote-unquote crippled up or anything like that. But they do experience pain and uncontrolled pain. So, and everybody has their good days and their bad days. So I guess I like what Cheryl said yesterday, that we have to learn to respect one another. And that's kind of the point of what she's trying to accomplish too. So, hey, become friends with the Fibromyalgia Wellspring, because they're actually trying to help those people with EDS also. It's not just about fibromyalgia. It's about helping people become respectful of other people. So I'm going to play a clip from a young lady who has EDS, and she's going to walk you through maybe a little bit about what it's like, okay?
4 years old, and I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. The first question I always get asked is, what is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? Well, EDS, for short, is a genetic disease that's pretty rare. It affects the collagen production in the body. Collagen isn't produced correctly, and it affects the skin, the muscles, tendons, cartilage, anything in your body with collagen, which is actually more than you might realize. You know, most people associate collagen with your skin, looking young, which obviously I do, because I am 24 and I often get asked if I'm 18. But it causes a lot of problems. It's progressive in the sense that your body can't repair itself properly. Every scratch, every abrasion, every bump and bruise, every dislocation, everything I do to my body and my joints is cumulative. It all adds up. When I was in junior high, I ran track, I swam, and I was a gymnast, and I loved all of it. But I had no idea that at the same time I was doing permanent damage to my body. So here I am, 24, and I've degraded to the point where getting around outside of the house without a cane is impossible. And doing things like going to the store without a wheelchair, impossible. I can't. The joints in my body most affected are probably my knees, with my ankles and hips in close second place. My wrists and fingers are somewhat affected. My shoulders seem to be pretty okay. I don't seem to suffer a lot of subluxations there, but again, it's progressive. So now that I know about it, because I was diagnosed December 15th in 2010, I've been able to take better care of my body, take preventative measures, do physical therapy. I was not able to participate in land therapy. I had to do aqua therapy because the degradation of the joints in my knees is to the point where being on my feet for more than a few minutes at a time is not even possible. My EDS causes complications regarding pain and my heart. So I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and POTS syndrome, which is postural orthostatic tachycardic syndrome. My heart is not strong enough to pump blood when I stand up, so my blood pressure drops. I suffer fainting spells, dizzy spells, things like that. And it beats arrhythmically sometimes, so irregular heartbeat. And the fibromyalgia is also a huge problem. I do have the fibro flares, as they call them, where I get random nerve pain or joint pain. It just flares up, sometimes depending on the weather. Of course, anyone with EDS can tell you we don't. We know when a storm is coming. We're like, oh, our joints are aching. EDS is, as I said, it's pretty rare. It's inherited. It's a hereditary disease. So I get it from my mother. It's one of those things that most people don't know about because, you know, when people look at me, they just see, you know, a 24-year-old girl. A lot of times when I'm using my cane, people ask me, oh, what did you do? Did you hurt your knee? And I was like, well, sort of, I guess you could say that, yeah. But it's more than that. And people just assume because I'm young and because I look healthy and there's no physical deformities that they can see that I must be fine. And part of what I want to do is change that mentality. I think people don't realize that there are a lot of what are called invisible illnesses. And there are things that are wrong with people that you can't necessarily see, which, you know, I think people kind of underestimate sometimes because it's something people don't talk about. And I try to be very open. You know, I love raising EDS awareness, and I go out of my way to explain it to people. I take the time and I try and reassure them that, no, please ask questions, please, because the more the rest of the world understands about this illness, the better off I am. It just makes my life easier. So I do take time to kind of talk about it. And people are curious, but people are also cautious because I guess there's this whole stigma where you don't ask about people's illnesses. And I don't like that. I know that it's personal and that some people don't like to talk about it, but why not? You know, when you don't talk about what's wrong, and this is a huge problem that I have both in my personal life, in my family. You know, my family's one of those people you don't talk about things, you know? And I hate that. I really do, because it creates, not only is it alienating for me when my family doesn't even know what's going on with me, which I've since said abolished, you know, I was like, no, I'm going to talk about this, whether, you know, you guys like it or not. But it creates a sense of alienation for myself. So for the victim, you know, because a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. But I feel like not talking about what is wrong with myself or with other people, all it does is make it worse. That's all it does, because people don't understand. When I first got diagnosed, I was actually really embarrassed. I didn't want to talk about my illness, and I didn't want people to know I was ill, and I just wanted, all I wanted in the world was just to be normal. And so I thought, well, if I pretend hard enough, if I pretend really, really hard, you know, I will be normal. The problem with that is that by pretending to be normal, I was lying not only to myself, but to everyone around me. And it was affecting my friendships, it was affecting my relationships, it was affecting a lot of things. It caused a lot of problems. It was easier in the end for me to just be completely upfront and honest and talk about it rather than keeping silent. I realized that if I was just upfront and I told people about this right off the bat and they were like, well, I don't want to be friends with you, that would save me like 6 months of, you know, wasted time, because those people are obviously people I don't need to have around me. I mean, it's hard for some people to understand invisible illnesses. I mean, I get that. I don't necessarily blame them. It makes sense to me to a degree. I mean, before I found out I was sick, before I figured out something was wrong, I never thought about it either. I mean, you don't think about it till it affects you. And just some people can't deal with that stuff. They're not good at it. And, you know, that's fine. I don't really blame them. I just don't want those people around. And that's, you know, it's my own prerogative. I think my biggest issue, though, is that because these things aren't talked about and no one knows about them, it creates this media stigma. I use a wheelchair. I have to. If I want to do certain things, I need one. And, you know, when you go to the store and they have the little electric scooters? Oh, yeah, I totally use those. No, not going to lie. I use those. I need to. I can't get around the store otherwise. It's too much. It's too much walking. I can't do it. My knees, my hips, and my ankles can't deal with it. And I got accused, of course, at a Walmart of joyriding. And I was like, excuse me, do I look like I'm having fun? Or do I look like I'm shopping for fucking groceries? And it's this media stereotype. Like, if you're not, like, missing a leg or if you're not paralyzed, because the whole thing spawned from the fact that I got up out of the scooter to grab an item that was too high for me to reach from the scooter. Look, I'm not paralyzed. I can stand up. It's just difficult to do for long periods of time. And if I stand up too quickly, I can faint, which is an issue. I don't want to faint in the middle of a store. Thank you. Pass. But, like, there's these people who just think that because I stood up from the scooter that, oh, I must be fine. And I'm like, you know, it's these media stereotypes that really need to change. It's these stigmas. It's this mentality that everyone who uses a wheelchair must be paralyzed. Yeah, I look normal, but I'm sick. My name is Izzy. I'm 24, and I have a rare genetic disease.
Well, there you have it. And this is part of what that discussion I had with Cheryl was kind of all about, that the stereotypes of what a disabled person look like should change, needs to change. And we need to see that, you know, somebody can be sick and not be paralyzed or missing a limb or something like that. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, there are other ways of having, as I like to put it, empirical evidence without it being just simply visual. You know, you don't know what that other person's going through. So that's one of the reasons why I got involved in telling people stories and being a filmmaker too, and doing this particular radio show, because that's what we're about. We want people to be aware without having to always visualize it and have it right in their face, you know? So, there we go. So, I'm going to click here to a station ID really quick here, maybe a couple seconds early, but, and now I'm going to set the next clip, okay? So, we'll be back.
Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO, 100.5 FM, is community radio, live and local since 1975.
Woo! And again, we're Community Living Radio, and you're listening to us here live on CFRO 100.5 FM and on the NCRA networks. Hey, if you happen to catch our podcast, great. We do have a podcast out there. And you can find us on social media at C Living. Yeah, at C Living. So we were talking today about hidden illnesses, again, specifically Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And again, it's a hidden disability that people just can't see right up front. And maybe some of the discriminating things that people might have going through their heads, because why did they park in a handicapped spot? Or as we heard in the last clip, why were you rolling around in one of the wheelie carts when you're able to walk? You know, but you can't walk for very long to actually finish her grocery shopping. So let's go into the next clip about somebody else living with EDS.
To people, to other people around me, really, it was not true. My life was far from healthy and far from what it seemed to be. I struggled daily with tasks that were supposed to be simple, and we didn't know why. We had no answers why. I'm 30 years old at the time. I was 29, and it just didn't make sense. I went to work every day. I was a teacher. I'm a mother of two children, and I was very active. I've been active my whole life. I was a runner, and I ran marathons. And people thought I was very healthy. Really, what they didn't know was that underneath my skin, I was completely falling apart. I was far from healthy. People had no idea how sick I actually was. I had something called an invisible illness because I didn't look sick. When you look at me, nobody has any idea of exactly how sick I really am. You see people like me probably every day who are very sick, and you would never know it from looking at them. The invisible illness I suffer from is called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a genetic disorder, and it affects your collagen production. Your collagen is what's needed to give the strength and elasticity to your connective tissue. So my connective tissue does not work at all. Connective tissue is all over your body. So all of the places that you have connective tissue, mine does not work, and it completely fails. The places like your joints, your ligaments, organs, it's all over, blood vessels. So we have all kinds of problems. Skin, it affects everything in your body. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome used to be thought to be rare. It actually, just a few years ago, was thought to be 1 in 15,000. And now it's at 1 in 5,000, except that doctors who screen for it regularly actually think that it's a lot more frequent than that. It's just commonly misdiagnosed because doctors used to think that if you had somebody like this, you would know right away. They would stand out. But we don't stand out. We seem to be very normal. And so there's a lot of misunderstandings that go along with EDS. Some of the problems that Ehlers-Danlos syndrome causes is chronic pain. So every joint that you can think of, we pretty much end up with pain in it. We have dislocations and subluxations all of the time. It's a common thing for us. I actually just used to think I just popped a lot, and had learned to wiggle myself back into place. I didn't know that popping was dislocating. I had no idea about that because it's been part of my daily life since I've been a kid. We have skin abnormalities. Our skin stretches very far, and I will show you that in a little bit. We have poor healing, chronic fatigue, muscle spasms throughout our body, and the list could really go on and on and on and on. EDS, without knowledge of it and without proper treatment, can be life-threatening. One of the things that it can cause is an aorta rupture, and so we need heart tests frequently. Even with treatment, it can be disabling, which it has disabled me quite a bit in the last year. To be diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, they check extensive scan of your body, and you need to go to a specialist. But one of the things that they look for is hypermobility. And so I'm going to show you some of the things, and is it okay if I put down the mic for a minute? Okay. Some of the things that they look for are your fingers, my fingers. Sorry if this grosses anybody out, but my fingers will bend way back. It doesn't hurt me at all, which it would hurt the normal people. I was actually very shocked when I found out that people couldn't do that. I had no idea. It was weird. Another thing is that my thumb touches my forearm very easily. I can put my palms onto the floor with my legs straight very simply. I don't need to practice my flexibility at all. My elbows bend backwards, and I'm hoping that you all can see this, but they bend backwards more than 10 degrees. And my knees do the same thing. The other thing that we have is our skin is very stretchy. So my arm, where if you pinched up your arm, it would not pull way up like mine. Mine pulls very far up, and so does my face, which is fun for my kids because I can make funny faces. So my skin will stretch way out on my face. Except when you go into doctor's appointments, they don't say to you, well, let me see you stretch your skin. It's not something they look for. And I didn't know it was strange. Also, our ears are very flimsy, and they can be folded very, very easily because of the collagen, how loose it is in our ears. We get gray tissue over our eyes, and we have a high, narrow palate in our mouth, which causes teeth overcrowding. Another thing that they look for is just all over the way your body heals and the way your scars look, because we end up with some pretty wicked looking scars. After you're diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, it is a complete lifestyle change. There's no cure for it, unfortunately. So it's a complete change of the way you have known living. One of the things that they need to do is you need constant monitoring. We're at doctor's appointments constantly. I had 3 doctor's appointments just last week and 2 this week. So it's just never ending. The other thing is bracing, and I'm going to put the mic down for another minute. The other thing is bracing, and these are actually not rings. I am not this stylish. These are splints, and so they keep my joints from popping in and out because of how my hands pop in and out. My pinky goes back, so this helps my pinky to not go back. I actually just lost this one. And my fingertips go backwards. So this holds my fingertips on so that they're not, you know, everything will bend backwards and pop out of place without my rings. I also have braces for my neck, my back, and my ankles. And as things start to go, they just piece you back together with braces. People often need surgeries, which I've had 13 at this point, and I don't see really an end in my future. So surgeries is one of the things that they do to help you to get put back together. A lot of people need walking assistance, so they'll need canes or a walker, or even have to use a wheelchair. We need to go through genetic counseling for ways to manage our pain better and the best possible way to live our life so that we can have the best quality of life and make constant choices throughout our day. I don't wake up with an endless supply of energy, and I don't wake up with an endless supply of my body to give. So if I decide to cut an apple, I may end up paying for it later. And so I really have to prioritize what I do throughout the day. And that doesn't ever end. One of the things that I miss more than anything in the world is picking up my kids. My kids are 4 and 3, and I can't hold them. I haven't held my son since November, 3 surgeries ago, and that's very difficult as a mom. It's something that I really, really miss, and I've actually only held them 3 times in the last year, but it's something that we have to adapt to, and it's the change that needs to be made, and we just roll with it. The other thing is that we have to always be aware of our movements. Putting on a shoe is not easy for us. So if I put on a shoe and I'm not paying attention, my hand pops out right away and I'll pop a joint. If I drop something behind a dresser and I go to pick it up and I stretch my arm out too far, it pops out of place. So there is not a time of the day when I can forget that I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's constant throughout the day that I have to think about my movements that I make. I was actually just only diagnosed a little over a year ago, despite that I've been showing signs my whole life. After I was diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, things in my life just all of a sudden made sense. My mom had always insisted there was something different about me. Something didn't seem right. She hunted for doctors all over the place, and nobody could figure out what was going on with me. And they ensured my mom that I was fine. They told her she's fine. She's just little, and she beats up her body. And my mom insisted there was something more going on. Growing up, I was always very flexible. I used to pretzel myself and rock back and forth and think it was fun. And my sister could do the same thing, so we had no idea we were doing damage to our body. We didn't know. We just thought we were flexible. I was also injury prone. I was constantly injured. I mean, I remember being in physical therapy through elementary school, and I was constantly injured. And the doctors had told my mom it was because I was overusing my body. I couldn't sit still. So they told me I was overusing my body. I was very active in sports. I played everything, and I was very, very active in softball. Softball was my thing. And they told me that I needed to take it easy on my body. It was that I was too small and my body couldn't handle it. I frequently needed surgeries to correct what was going on and all of my injuries. Before I was 20 years old, I had 6 surgeries. I played softball in college, and I ended up getting hurt, and that was the end of my career. At the time, they diagnosed me with loose shoulders, and they told me I needed surgery to correct my shoulders. The loose shoulders was a sign now that we see. The loose shoulders, they could pop them in and out, and they said it wasn't normal, so they tried to tighten them. My pain didn't go away. I ended up with chronic upper body pain, and it was pretty bad. It was very difficult for me, but I knew that I needed to learn to deal with it until somebody could figure out more what was going on. That was the beginning of my battle with doctors and my struggle with doctors, and that was 11 years ago. I started to do the doctor shuffle, where we just went from one doctor to another doctor to another doctor. And quite a few doctors said, there's something, we just don't know what it is. And we started and would move me on to somebody else. I actually used to joke with my husband and say, when I came home from a doctor's appointment, I would say, I was broken up with again.
Well, we're going to have to wrap things up here. And you can see this, like, there's a lot of things going on that people just, they think that, oh, well, this is, that if you appear normal, you must be normal. You can't have a disability unless you look crippled up, shall we say. So anyway, the point is, be respectful to everyone around you. And I'm going to wrap things up here. We're going to play something from Robert Johnson, Me and the Devil Blues. And New to Dune's going to come up for those of you who are listening on CFRO 100.5 FM. And stay tuned for your local programming on the rest of the NCRA network. Bye.
Upon my door early this morning, ooh, when you knocked upon my door, and I said, hello, Satan, I believe it's time to go. Devil was walking side by side. Me and the devil was walking side by side. And I'm going to be my woman until I get satisfied. You don't see why that you would dog me round. Now, baby, you know you ain't doing me right, don't you? She said, you don't see why, ooh, that you would dog me round. It must be that old evil spirit so deep down in the ground. Nobody, nobody, how is that?
don't care where you bury my body when I'm dead and gone. You may bury my body, ooh, down by the highway side. So my old evil spirit can catch a greyhound bus and ride.